Hello and welcome to another episode of the Never a Straight Answer podcast. The podcast aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm your host Gaz and joining me in the studio, well, it's said he has a crater sense of humour and he knows how to rock his lunar charisma. Plus, he's the best moonwalker in the business. It's Mr. Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Good evening, everybody. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome indeed. And thank you for joining us to another solar. Yeah. Well, solar, is it? I don't know. Another episode of the show.
It's in the solar system.
It's in the solar system. And thank you for joining us. We're going to be definitely getting into it tonight. We've got a really good episode.
So whether
you are a new listener or a repeat offender.
Keep repeating.
Thanks for joining us.
Hell yeah.
Oh, God. I had a bit of a frog in my throat this week. It's been proper all this week, to be honest. We've got a great episode this week.
Yes.
Hold on to your spacesuits, folks.
Yes.
We're going to uncover some of the out of the world theories about the moon's origins from the coalition theory.
Yeah.
Plus alien moon base theory.
Oh,
and even the reports of the moon ringing like a bell.
Yes, definitely.
Loads of stuff going on. I mean, we've always often wondered, looking up at the big cheese ball in the sky, wondering what it is.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Where did it come from? Was it here from the start, wasn't it?
I don't know. Well, we're going to look at some of the theories tonight.
Yeah,
that's all coming up very shortly in the show.
Indeed.
It's well worth sticking around for, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But who am I?
I'm just
the guy who's doing it.
Yes,
I know what you've got to look forward to. That's the thing, because we've done the research.
Yeah.
And there is so many theories about the moon.
Yeah.
It's untrue. I mean, obviously, as lunar theories go, I was shocked at how many different theories there actually are. We're going to go into some of the more scientific theories, as well as some of the more kind of a wackier out there theories a bit later on.
Or possibly true.
Indeed. This week's episode is brought to you as in part by our sponsor, Hive Mind Clothing.
Ah, yes.
Hive Mind Clothing is a Manchester-based clothing line that has some excellent designs using eco-friendly materials. They plant trees and even offer free postage. They're really good, so do check them out. There will be a link in the description. They have an online store, so if you're looking for some cool, unique design tees, head over to Hive Mind, and like I say, link in the description. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.
Some nice stuff. Talking about t-shirts, we've got our t-shirts available on the website. Neverastraightanswer.co.uk.
Yes, come along,
There'll also be a link in the description somewhere. We've had an interesting week. I've had an interesting week. Have you had an interesting week, Taylor?
Yeah, I have an interesting week.
What have you been up to this week?
Yeah. finding car parts, so spunking loads of money, and then going to festivals.
Oh, yeah, you said you were working a festival, so what festival was it? Anyone exciting
rock in the
playing?
Rock
in the Park.
Yeah.
Who was playing?
Two Unlimited was supposed to
Two
be
Two Unlimited?
There, didn't
no,
turn
no,
up.
No, turn up. That's it's a no,
Skeech.
Turn up.
Isn't
a rock festival. What are you talking about?
I know. Well, that would have been on the Saturday, which was pouring in rain in a storm that's just come across.
Two Unlimited. No show.
Yeah. But it was a lot of 90s kind of music, like indie and all kinds
Sounds
of
Sounds a hoot.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, I was watching the beer tent.
Oh, no. Oh, well, that's a good tent to watch, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes.
That's all right.
All good behaviour. So,
good.
It was wicked, man.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yourself, what are you
doing?
Well,
the weather's been absolutely shocking again, hasn't it? It's been absolutely torrential rain, so you can't really do very much.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for all the parents. A big shout out to all the parents who have got the 6 weeks holidays can't really do much because of the weather.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They must be getting drove a bit bonkers by now.
Well, it's not like the old times, is it, where you just go, right,
get
out the door.
Don't care if it's raining.
Come back till 10 o'clock or
whatever. I don't want to see you at this door till tea time.
Yeah. You come here, I'm going to give you a backhander. So, you know, piss off and, like, learn life on the skills on the streets of wherever you're from. Get your skills up.
Well, no, it's not safe these days. That's the
problem. That's it, you know what I mean?
You've got to be careful.
Yeah,
be careful out
too
there.
Too many dickheads out there.
No. We got to be careful indoors as well.
Oh, yeah, true. It's health and safety nightmare.
Health and safety everywhere. I basically, had a bit of a mishap. this week. Oh, like an idiot. I don't know why we did it. Like, do you know when you're half asleep and you wake up and you're like, oh, I need the toilet or something? Yeah, right. So I must have got up because I needed the loo. And on my way to the bathroom, I banged my head. I don't know how I did it. I must have walked into a door or something because I ended up with a fuck off lump and cut on my head.
Yeah,
I ended up just going like, oh my God, clean myself up.
Do you actually remember getting up or do you
the first thing I really remember was looking in the bathroom mirror. Like, because
after I'd banged my head,
yeah. Like, so it was like, and then all day next day I felt well dizzy. So, like, I'm all right now.
You might have had concussion.
Watch out for doors, ajar doors. Do you know what I mean? When you're creeping around the house at night. See, that's what I'm saying. You've got to be safe. You've got to be careful everywhere.
Yeah,
you've
got to know where everything is. This is why when you share with someone, they move fucking things and it's like, well, why did you leave the skateboard at the top of the
bloody... We were having this conversation the other day about for housemates and stuff, about like how when you live with somebody and they move your stuff and then you go you've not seen this, have you? Because I know where I left it, but it's not there now. And then they go, oh, I've not seen it. And I'm like, well, I'm not asking you if you've got it. I'm asking you know, I'm not being accusatory. I'm just saying, have you moved it? No, you always get the I haven't seen it. I haven't touched
guilty look.
I haven't touched it. As in to say I haven't moved it or whatever. It's just kind of makes you feel like, well, that's not what I'm asking. Do you know what I mean?
Thing. We got to look after each other, you know what I mean? We're responsible for, you know, not running each other down or
this is the thing, isn't it? What was I going to say? I believe you've got a riddle for me today.
Have I? Yeah, I have.
I was going to say, come on, Taylor, you got to do your homework.
Oh, yeah, you're ready
right,
for
okay.
it.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Hang on.
I'm ready.
Hang on a minute. No, I was going to put the What's It music on.
All right, go.
No, it's all right.
You sure?
Yeah, we're good. Because I can't remember which button it is.
All right.
Hang on, I think I do remember which button it is, actually. Right. One sec. No. No, that's not it either. No, I think this is it. We've lost it. It's all good.
It's all good. All right,
it's
then.
One of them.
It is.
I've got too many sound effects, that's my
guarantee
problem.
Guarantee that, it's one of them.
So professional.
Yeah.
Keeping it real, go for it.
Okay, okay, well, here's the riddle for today.
Right, okay.
It is, what runs but never walks, has a mouth but never talks, has a head but never weeps, has a bed but never sleeps.
I'm going to say a river.
Heard this before, haven't you?
I think we've done this before.
Have we done this before?
You can't go backsies now.
Oh, no. Yeah, you got it. Oh, your cat's going rebel, man.
Will you stop going rogue, you?
Hey,
what are you doing?
You? Hey, yeah.
Right, okay.
Don't tempt us, you attack you.
Anyway, right, yeah. So I'm all right.
You all right? Yeah.
I believe the score is... 4-0 genius.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe not a genius, you know. But what did she just drop there? Can you see anything? Like, something definitely fell off, but it doesn't matter. Oh, well.
Nothing important.
Right, well, let's get into the show.
Under there.
Oh, I don't know.
Got it, yes.
Let's get into the show, because I feel like we're getting off topic here. Anyway, right.
Yep.
So... Well, there we go. I cracked the riddle.
Yes, you did.
We've done the how you doing this week bit. Right, let's move on with the show. Right, we've got the moon this week. Yeah. So, like I said earlier, there's been many different versions and variations of the moon theory.
Yeah.
Whether you believe that it was, multiple impact theory, some lunar volcanism.
Yeah,
there is loads of different theories, ranging from the scientific to the more bizarre. I mean, like, ever since like we could look up at the stars, I think we probably wondered what the moon was.
Yeah,
why it was so kind of like unique to the sky, the scale of it compared to all the rest of the other planetary bodies that are up there.
Yeah.
Any stars, so even the sun. It's basically likened to the moon and the sun, isn't it? You get kind of that comparison because they're the two largest bodies in the sky For us. Here,
yeah,
on Earth. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So the moon's obviously had this kind of aura of mysticism around it for forever. Yeah. So yeah, trying to understand it, I can appreciate why going there in the 60s was kind of like something that needed to be done. Do you know, like, to say, we've done it, we've set foot on the moon, we can kind of start maybe trying to analyse it and see what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't really come any closer to really analyse it. They know what it's made of, but know what it is and why what its function is.
Yeah, it's just that it's...
On the surface, they believe they know what it's made of.
Yeah. But, like, obviously when they got there, they took, like, I think... Oh, 150 pounds back of material to check through, and he found out actually, especially in the Apollo mission,
he's made the cheese.
Yeah, with mice.
With clangers.
Yeah, guarding the thing.
Boop, 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 boop.
The darker areas, there was kind of the rock was really sharp, and it was actually piercing through the material.
Oh, right, through the spacesuits and
stuff,
but
they didn't really do anything until, like, obviously, the
situation. That's when gaffer tape is handy.
Well, yeah.
Skull shit, patch up.
Possibly that they would have.
Well, there's been definitely loads of, you know, like, speculative theories regarding the moon's origins. The nature of the nature of it, obviously, is... quite kind of still kind of explored, really. I mean, we don't really have any idea, any clues, but like there are a lot of different theories. So I mean, like, firstly, the cheese one.
Yeah,
right, obviously everyone goes on about the cheese one.
Yeah,
where'd that come from, do you
clangers,
think?
I think
the clangers, really.
Yeah, well, I think it was old mother's tales, you know, that throughout like the 18th 19th century, and it's just, you know, it's just the story that's just carried on through that timeline, but possibly changed here and there and put a bit more spin on it, because a lot of people were religious, but also a lot of people were looking to the stars, and a lot of tribes and that were looking to the stars, and they've always, like, back in the day, looked into, you know, the stars and that.
Well, they basically, from what I can gather, the moon being made of green cheese, obviously a statement referring, you know, it's it's fun, but obviously it's like, it's not made of cheese.
No,
it's because it glows, it's got holes in it.
Yeah.
I think one thing is, like, it looks a bit cheesy. Obviously, it came over as a proverb, with roots in, you know, like, just basically being a fable there.
Yeah.
And people have kind of go with it, basically. It was like, I think you explained it very well there.
Yeah.
Among many world cultures, the notion the moon's made of cheese has fueled children's folklore and modern popular culture. So
I think
it is kind of like something that kids always kind of... It's one of those where if a kid asks, what's the moon? You can say, it's a thing, isn't it? It's cheese, it's a, I don't know. There's loads of fables, apparently, about the moon being made of cheese, where a fox leads a wolf to believe the moon's reflection in the water is cheese, so the wolf basically jumps in and attempts to drink the water to get the cheese.
And then you've got the cow jumps over the moon.
Yeah, the cow jumping over the moon, Then you've got... So I think it's more about, like, the moon in reflections in pools that makes it look like cheese, because it's more achievable, isn't it? Pointing up at the sky and saying that's made of cheese is one thing, but, like, to say, like, to an animal, if you saw that in the reflective of the water, I mean, or even if you were, you know, you didn't know any concept of what the moon was, or a child, you could say, oh, there's a block of cheese in the water there, and they might get a little bit of a giggle out of it.
Yeah, it's a fable.
It's a kid's kind of story, and I think that's where that comes from. I don't think there's anything more to it than that, really. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like the idea that
the moon's made of cheese is obviously not a thing. Yeah, so the fact that we're even we've devoted this much time to it.
Yeah, because it would have been raided by so many countries.
I do believe we had to say it. Yeah, I mean, this is it. Jacob's cream cracker would be up there.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that'd be
we wouldn't be seeing, like, NASA taking chips to the moon. It'd be, what's it? Yeah, it'd be like, what's it, Dairy Lee.
Yeah.
They'll be doing missions to the moon. Anyway, there is certainly various theories and hypotheses regarding the origins of the moon. Here are some of the prominent ones. These are more the scientific theories. Yeah, so let me have a go through a couple of these. If you've got any that you want to mention as well, Taylor, obviously. But the giant impact theory is the most widely accepted theory for the moon's formation. It's that there was a giant impact, according to this theory, about 4.5 billion years ago. A Mars-sized object, basically, often known as Theia, collided with the Earth, and the impact caused a significant amount of the debris to be ejected into space, where it eventually, you know, consolidated and formed the moon. This theory explains why the moon is, you know, like, comparatively smaller to Earth, but why it kind of attached or, you know, lacks any iron core or anything like that. That could be why, you know what I mean? That might be why.
Well, then realistically, in that kind of case, it should have had an iron core.
Well, that's what I was saying. Why it doesn't have it is a bit weird, do you know what I mean? Like, because if it's... a load of extra rock that's kind of clumped back together and compressed and formed a new body is one thing, but it'd have that pressure built up, and we'll go into one of the theories later on, but there is a theory that the moon is hollow. If it rings like a bell when you throw a nuke at it, or there's a collision with it, then that doesn't suggest that there is no iron core or there's no sort of mass that's a great mass to this object. So I mean, in terms of like this hypothesis of the giant impact theory, now we're saying there about it must have been an object Mars sized. So there was always speculation that this extra planet was between Earth and Mars.
Yeah, that's right.
And this planet was in some sort of altercation potentially. So this is another UFO story that we've never covered, but this planet between Earth and Mars was in an altercation with Mars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Supposedly. That's why you see
Mars
that big
apparently spray. Attacked this other planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And destroyed it.
Yeah.
But at a cost, they basically burnt themselves out as well.
Yeah, because it was actually nuclear. The nuclear leftovers that from a nuclear.
And this
bomb
is why they think Mars is so barren, and like they've got these, you know, isotopes they find there and stuff like that. There is a few things that they kind of say that there was an extra planet, but I did read this thing and I thought, oh well, I'd have need to find out more information about it. Mm. But that kind of does make sense that if they were to, you know, if this planet exploded or was destroyed in some fashion, the remnants, like, you know, a chunk the size of a planet hits Earth.
Well, it answers about the Kuiper
obviously,
belt as how, well.
I mean, if a planet-sized planet hits a planet, it's obviously going to, it's not going to just make a little dent in Earth, is it?
No.
We'd know about it, yeah.
And it's supposed to be, it's been a skim off the top, but NASA is actually... within the year, it's got the supercomputer to actually do a model of this to see if this kind of this could actually happen. So they've done the model, and it looks like that the way their model's been put in there, it works.
Well,
but you've got to add most of these time they go to
well,
computer to
way,
do science thing.
You think
they take certain things out.
Most of the other planets are in an orbit, they're in an elliptical orbit around the Earth. I mean, around the Sun, right? So, another body in our solar system, it'd get caught up in the gravity. Yeah. If there was another Mars-sized object, it would have got caught in the gravity. How would that object collide with Earth?
who would have been sprung round.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. It was an early Earth, but I mean, how is it collided with Earth? I mean, was this in when it was still in its primordial way, or
well,
I don't know. This is like
million years old.
4.5 billion years ago, they say.
Yeah,
this happened.
But the Earth would have been 50 million years old at that time.
Yeah.
So it would have still been like, you know, like.
So it's funny to actually think there was a point in Earth's history where there was no moon.
Yeah.
There was no moon in the sky, So how did that affect our tides? Yeah. And was it the introduction of the moon that that brought the tidal, obviously that we rely on the moon for our tides?
Yeah.
So was it the introduction of the moon that actually sparked off life on this planet because it's set off you know, this tidal shit and like all the everything that comes with that?
It's really questionable, and the reason why is because over the centuries gone by, there are tribes and certain scholars that have put in at a point there was no moon. Now, if there was no moon, then the seas wouldn't been moving. So if the seas wouldn't been moving, then you would have a thing called red algae. When red algae hits
the sea,
gets rid of the oxygen, so we wouldn't have lived anyway.
Yeah, totally. So, but, I mean, would that would affect sea life and marine life as well?
Yeah.
So,
totally.
I mean, like, the air wouldn't have been breathable for us because of all the red algae and the toxins in the atmosphere.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's questions again about that.
Yeah.
The next theory is the co-formation theory.
Mm-hmm.
This theory suggests that the moon was formed alongside the Earth as a result of gravitational forces acting on dust and gases in the early solar system. According to this idea, the moon and Earth are both aged the same. Yeah, they both turned up at the same time.
So they were roughly around the same area when they were being created.
But then you'd think that they'd be made up of the similar stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
They'd have a few of the same elements that we have on Earth. And I mean, there is, but like these...
Yeah.
It seems that the moon is like concentrated with like the similar stuff. There's oxygen. No variations on how what minerals. It's not like a gold rich pocket that they found.
Oh
or
yeah, no,
anything like that.
They're like us. They've got the same oxygen isotopes that we found that are exactly the same as Earth. So it would have been it would have been here when it was created. But then again, there are certain things that are saying that it can't have been here when it was created, you know what I mean? There's so many inflictions, and we're still like...
I'm not sure it was, yeah. So the co-formation theory, obviously, I mean, the theory struggles to explain some of the differences in isotopes, like you said, and between the Earth and the Moon.
Yeah.
So there is big differences that suggest that the Moon is a secondary object and wasn't here when the Earth originally formed, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And like I say, how the Earth behaves because of the moon.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So minus a moon, the world would have been a very different place. It's crazy to think. The next theory, the capture theory, this basically suggests that the moon was formed elsewhere in the solar system and then was later captured by the Earth's gravitational field. The theory, however, has largely been ruled out due to moon orb elliptical characteristics and similar, you know, like similarities in, you know, fission theory, I think it is. So, you know, I think that comes later. We'll do fission theory in a minute. Sorry.
Yeah. I've just lost trail of thought.
Sorry, I was going to say, basically, the Earth's gravitational field, the theory is, however, largely been ruled out due to the moon's elliptical characteristics and its similarities with the composition of Earth.
And if it did come through, so, it would have had to have been slowed down, and plus it would have had to have been a third body, which there is no third body to show that could have happened.
Because if it was whizzing by, then how it's like
it
would have passed through, and
so
we wouldn't have seen
it
again. So it must have been like moving really slow and then just drifted in and caught in the orbit.
Yeah, which you don't really get in the universe anyway, because everything's going, once you give a little bit of speed, bang, about like 10 years.
This is the thing, though,
but
what's projecting all this stuff? I know you say the big
bang. The expansion.
But yeah, no, yeah. But I mean, it's like at that speed, at these speeds where things are whizzing through space at like...
Light collisions.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, potentially. There's a few things, isn't there? So, the capture theory is, like I say, that it's just kind of floated by and the gravity's pulled it in.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, that was enough, basically. I'm not sure about that. It's a very big coincidence.
Yeah, I kind of, in a way... think it could be a mixture of that and like the beginning of...
Well, this is funny actually, because the next theory is the collision capture.
Yeah.
So this theory is a variant of the capture theory, and it suggests that the moon was formed elsewhere and then later captured by the Earth's Earth after colliding with a passing celestial body. However, this theory faces challenges as well because of the moon's composition and its stable orbit.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, and don't forget, it's a perfect size to for eclipses and stuff like that. And like, for eclipses and like the calculation on that actually happening is like mind blowing. So it's one of them things. It's like it will never happen again. So yeah, you know what I mean. It's one of them that it's like it's a massive.
So,
issue on it.
Well, fission theory, I jumped the gun before, fission theory, or fission hypothesis. The fission theory suggests that the moon was once part of Earth and spun off due to rapid rotational motion. This theory fails to explain the moon's composition and the significant differences between the two bodies. But... you know, I mean, like, what? So there was a big broken bit of Earth and it just spun off and went floating off into space.
Well,
I don't think so. No. I mean, like, what? It can't. That'd suggest that things could just float off into space at any moment, like mountains or whatever. If a body of Earth has been able to kind of like spin off,
saying that though.
That we're talking now. I'm not talking, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally, Marty.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you think fourth dimensionally, right? Well, if you think about it, right? You're just saying there about how things move so fast in space.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would have been a point when the Earth might have been spinning quite rapidly.
Oh,
yeah,
without a doubt.
Like, forming.
Yeah.
So if you've got a point in the history of the Earth where it is spinning quite rapidly and... it's still in formation, then a piece could have broke off. But again, like you say about all these tribes and people denoting an era of history where there was no moon in the sky, that doesn't ring true. So, I mean, it's like you rather...
This is it. You've got to discount, where was it hidden then?
You've got to discount the... Right, so all right then. If you want to think scientifically in that way for this fusion, fission theory, then you've got to discount all the eyewitness testimony that came out around... you know, there not being a moon in any literature you find, old text.
It's just disregarded.
They've
and
just
then
got
all
to disregard
of a sudden...
it. Yeah, but I mean, like the idea that, and again, same with the co-formation theory. I mean, if it was there all from the very beginning, then all of this eyewitness stuff has to go out the window because they're obviously lying. Yeah, because the moon's always been there. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but
maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well. This is the thing, though, with like information from the past, like from tribes.
Oh, we've got more
generationally down. It's a case of like if the something must have happened for them to be able to then one day just look up and go, look, there's a moon now.
Yeah. That's
so
a big
that
to me. Yeah, right. Would have been documented to the nines. Yeah. Yeah. So
would
if
have
suddenly,
been praying for it.
Yeah.
Same
if suddenly
the
there was a new body in the sky. Yeah. You would be like, you'd be running for the hills for a start because you'd be thinking this is coming for us. It looks too close to be a star
like
or anything like that.
Like us finding out there's aliens.
You know, if you saw a meteorite in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would be like, oh shit. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So to have something just appear in the sky that wasn't there before and it's that size, you would be thinking that's on a collision course with us. Do you know what I mean? So I think this would have been documented to high heaven if there was a point in history which where, you know, primitive man was able to kind of like go, oh, we've got a story about that. Remember when the moon just appeared? Yeah. I think that would be bigger news, do you know what I mean? But again, it's like...
Yeah, but don't forget, it's in tribal Texas and, like, you know, passed well, on
generation. We talked earlier about how that was passed down about the fables of it being made of cheese.
But we knew that it was in the children's area. It wasn't in the adult area,
Keep that amazing secret.
Yeah.
We've got some more anyway. So the multiple impact theory...
Yes.
Yeah, this is the theory that basically says that the moon was formed by debris, several smaller impacts over the Earth, rather than a single giant impact. The idea that multiple smaller collisions contributed to the formation of the moon, it's an okay one. I mean, nobody kind of has pulled this one apart yet.
No.
But I feel like... that kind of makes more sense than a giant asteroid, because I think if a big asteroid or a planet-sized object hit Earth, we'd know about it. It'd be a different place. I don't know. It wouldn't be so well formed, potentially, or we'd have some sort of evidence to say that this is where it hit. And I know we have, like, the Grand Canyon and shit like that, but who knows? I don't know what exactly that was. Is that just a fissure?
Come off Earth, it was the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, right.
You reckon that's the part that's come off, because it's, you know, so deep and so wide that, you know, there's no land there, there's just sea.
Okay. So you think that's where, if it did come off the planet, it came off there?
Yeah.
So potentially if you got, because I always say this about the shape of the Earth when people go, oh, do you think the Earth's flat then? They go, no, it's potato shaped.
Yeah.
So if you stripped all the water away, you might find that there's a big chunk of Earth missing on where the Atlantic Ocean is.
Yeah.
I suppose all the water would have rushed into the cavity, I suppose, and filled it up.
Filled it up over the millions of years going by.
Okay, well, I've got my last scientific theory, before we get into the more out there ones. This is the lunar volcanism theory.
Okay.
So this suggests... and some researchers have looked into this and suggested that the moon was formed from volcanic activity within the Earth's mantle. Yeah?
Yeah.
That began to eject molten lava so rapidly and with so much force that it sprayed out the moon.
That's a far-fetched one, isn't it?
Yeah, so it ejected its molten lava, the money shot. Yeah, right. Into space and created the moon. I think it'd just be a bit more like a blur rather than a. I suppose the pressure might have formed it into a ball.
In a sort of way, you could start with a collective of bigger ones, and then as it's going round and, you know, over the million years of going by, you know, banging into it and, you know, collecting up.
Yeah.
But then you've got the issue of this is one of the big issues with it, is the moon has been burnt, but the Earth hasn't. So why has the moon been burnt, and how's the moon been burnt?
Well, maybe
burnt
that's
and
why
the Earth
then.
Hasn't.
Well, why? Maybe that's
where
why.
Where it should have if we've been connected.
Well, not necessarily,
in the same
because
area.
Like if for that lunar volcanism theory, then like that would explain it. Because I mean, obviously, we've already established the moon was formed in, like, say, if the moon was formed in the way that the Earth was formed, right? And space is a big pressure cooker, right? That if the atmosphere is projecting, like, you know, like volcanic material from earthquake, from volcanoes every now and again, over that time, it does kind of get sucked to the nearest kind of gravitational pull, which would be the moon, But so maybe that's it. Over millions and billions of years, it's kind of just formed because of shit that's being ejected from the Earth.
Well, there'd have to be massive explosion. I mean, really massive. And the reason why is because of the magma. The magma within it, as soon as it goes out into space,
magma.
As soon as it touches the outer skin, it's going to be freezing as fuck.
It's
like 280 degrees Fahrenheit. You know what I mean? Sort of
first
night.
One, then the other.
But
Well, there you go. There's some of the more, thingy theories. But there are kind of some more crazier theories out there.
Oh.
One being the alien moon base theory.
I don't think it's so crazy.
And there's nothing up there but them disgusting onion men.
Well, it sort of seems from three different countries that have already landed there, two of them who have already landed there on the...
the dark side.
The
Pink Floyd side.
Kind of claimed it. that there is something there.
Yeah, I told you, Onion Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. The Onion Men, I mean, the Onion Men and the Alien Moon Theory, right, so it suggests that the moon is an artificial satellite placed in orbit around the Earth, and is basically like the home or, you know, a moon base for alien creatures,
for
alien beings.
Our rulers.
supporters of this idea point to the alleged anomalies in the moon's surface, such as unusual structures and lights as evidence of alien activity.
Yeah, yeah.
However, there's no credible scientific evidence to support this.
Because
it is widely regarded as a pretty kind of like big theory. People kind of buy this.
I think it's more. I think it's
Big
well,
Brother's
it is, it's
watching.
More than a
it's Christoph.
Now.
It's Christoph from Truman Show, living in the moon.
Oh, not
Do you know
again.
What I mean? Like. Just watching from his moon base.
Just keeping his peedy little
eye. Well, it's funny because, like we said, we keep going round and to this kind of like the idea that it could be, it's not got the same mass as the Earth, right?
Yeah.
It's always pointing at the Earth, like it never rotates, so it's always got a
That's
fixed view on us, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
It's been known or been said that it rings like a bell, which suggests it's hollow, right?
And it's still our saviour from.
Gets me on to nicely to the next theory, the hollow moon theory.
Yeah.
Well, have you got anything to pitch in at any point, Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay. The hollow moon theory, obviously, any other theories that I've missed, I mean, so, hollow moon theory, according to most, you know, hollow moon theorists, say that the moon's hollow. It's inside. Nothing inside it. It contains, you know... Vast space. Well, it might actually have a vastly intelligent civilization living with inside it. The idea being popularized by science fiction literature and conspiracy theories, but the lack of credible scientific evidence again makes you think. Yeah, well, it is kind of like a solid theory. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the moon isn't solid.
No, I mean, there's earthquakes going on down there as we speak, and it, to me, then that seems like it's wearing away from inside. So if it's wearing away from inside, it only takes a one, you know, one bit, which could come to another theory that tribes used to have as well, that it was a dragon's egg.
Yeah, you were talking about this. Yeah. It was like a massive egg of some description.
Yeah, the creator of
man. That's a good
theory,
that. I mean, like... So
it's
a dragon, and it's the guardian of the Earth and the planet.
Yeah.
So when's it hatching?
Well, when we're in trouble. So aliens, back off, son.
Yeah,
we've got a dragon here.
Well, unless it is the aliens, and then we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, if it's a lizard people, then, you know, he ain't going to eat his own, is he?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you think it could be, well, there is, not you think personally,
but
there is a theory that it could be a massive egg.
Yeah.
That actually is quite interesting because I've just watched a Futurama episode where they were basically like, I think it's the movie, one of the movies, the Into the Wild Green Yonder.
Yeah.
And the violet dwarf star, they're trying to protect it, but it turns out to be a big egg, and it hatches and stuff. But the Elementals or whatever,
yes,
do you know, that Marvel thing,
do
a similar thing, that the planet Earth was a big egg.
Yeah, because we don't...
Maybe they do know something and we are just living on a big egg.
For all we know, there are structures of creatures out there that are like, absolutely, we could be within side one for all we know.
No, it's funny actually, because, like, you know, in terms of like scale, we only have scale based on what we have, but it's like, you know, when you look at like Ant-Man and this new Ant-Man where they go quantum realm, it's like,
that's it,
they're you know, how do we know that the beings that are outside our understanding aren't like vastly bigger than us, like, or you know, we kind of think, oh, yeah, they're going to land and they're going to be our size and all the rest of it, and they're going to have arms and legs and eyes and heads and all the rest of
and
it.
And is the elements going to be different, like, when you get into the quantum realm, then you know, there's gravity doesn't matter or time doesn't matter or something like that. But
well, again,
it's
something, that's another
way.
Thing. But going into that, time, because there is another theory, the time traveler moon theory. Right, so the time-traveling moon theory suggests that the moon is a time-traveling object, a time capsule of sorts.
So it's controlling our time.
Well, sent from the future, This is a theory that basically speculates that the moon's unusual characteristics, such as location with the Earth, the size and distance ratio,
definitely,
and the evidence of advanced time traveling technology. Yeah, I don't know what that was, but that is, and I'd be interested in finding out. But, however, this theory is purely speculative and lacks any actual empirical evidence. A time-travelling moon. I mean, but what's in a time capsule? What do we put in a time capsule as Earthlings? We put, like, you know, a Wham! CD in a Rubik's Cube. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, what's going to be in this big fuck-off space time capsule?
Hopefully,
unless
it's
another civilization. Ready to take over.
As soon as we kill ourselves, they come in and take
so
over.
So the time-travelling moon theory kind of goes hand-in-hand with the alien base theory.
True.
And the hollow moon theory. So all these ones, all three of these straight away, kind of link together and kind of operate together, really, don't they? There's the galactic superwave theory.
Yes.
Right, this theory suggests that a powerful energy wave emitted from the centre of the galaxy is responsible for creating celestial bodies like the moon, some others, but people who have get on board with this theory suggest that the this wave might have triggered the formation of the moon, and or influenced the environment. However, again, there's no kind of real thing about
that. Yeah,
you've
still got like the isotope theory as well, and then you've got the radiation.
Well, go for it. I mean, well, what's the isotope? Well, obviously, we mentioned that earlier about the isotopes being
because the Earth as its oxygen. You know, like basically, it's burning something really badly. But if something something burnt the moon to the degree that it is now. If we were in that same area, we wouldn't be here now. So it's a case of, it gives more providence of, it's come in, it hasn't been created here. But then again, it's still got the isotopes that we've got. It's still roughly what we are, but it's like it's obviously a smaller object and it hasn't got an iron core.
Right, well, so there is stuff to suggest. I mean, they've dropped nukes on the moon.
And
this is when we say they know it to ring like a bell. They know that because they drop nukes on the moon for really weird reasons. So we talk about, I say the Onion Men, or whoever's living on the moon, And we laugh about, like, this might be an alien base up there, and other people have gone up there and seen aliens and been warned off the moon, told to not come back.
Yeah. Apollo missions.
So, what was that?
Apollo missions,
basically, So, it's only recently that they just started dropping nukes on the moon for some unknown reason, and now all of a sudden they want to go back to the moon.
Yeah, because why did they leave it for so long?
Exactly.
Because the story was that they got told they don't come back.
They murdered the Onion Men.
Yeah,
and now they're going back to go and check the corpses.
Well, yeah. But we
killed them all, sir. The moon's ours.
Well,
we're off to Button Moon. Let's go. Right. Follow me. I'm Mr. Spoon. I don't know. Maybe. Well, whatever. I mean, the moon's origins remains basically a captivating mystery. It continues to inspire scientific inquiry. And obviously, you know, people will still ask the question for years to come until we know for sure. Get drilling, try and find out what's in it.
Oh yeah.
While the giant impact theory stands to be the most plausible, the moon's formation is still a big mystery.
Oh yeah.
It's one of those. I mean, I wonder what the people at home think, if we've missed any, or do you think there's any more theories that we've not? That worth.
I think there is going to be a number of nutball theories, and probably some genuine proper theories, but just haven't been put out to the public yet.
Well, that's true.
I've got the greatest moon hoax.
What was the greatest moon hoax?
In 1835, the New York Sun paper. It was owned by Benjamin Day, decided because The paper was at 6 cents and it ended up coming down to like 1 cent. So it was less people like reading. Yeah.
Oh, so they brought it down to a penny to try and get more listeners, more readers.
Yeah, the rich were paying, not like the you don't. If you were poor, you didn't get a paper or anything like that.
Oh, you weren't. No. Oh, not in our day. We used to.
Yeah.
We were luxury. You used to have a newspaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we used to live in a newspaper.
So he basically he made up in some stories and that, saying like there was Batman. Who would fornicate everywhere and anywhere.
I've got a story coming up in the news you might like.
Then you had walking upright beavers. Yeah, unicorns.
Fucking hell, I've got another story in the news.
Of unicorns?
No, about other things walking upright.
All right,
oh, yeah, we've got a lot. Yeah, go on. It's happening, guys.
So, yeah, they ended up... publishing it in New York, and then they did another copy for worldwide, and it was like a book series, and it lasted for quite a bit until we all looked at the moon and went, no, what the fuck are you on about? There's no one living there. Apparently, they reckoned
they said that people were
4.3 billion people were living on the moon.
Seriously, yeah. People bought it,
and people bought it. Big
oh
time.
My god! Yeah, we're already up there. People are living up there now. Yeah,
yeah.
It's all good.
Don't worry about it. But he was like,
"You too could
on.
Live on the moon, buy real estate at very affordable prices, and join the moon colony today."
But I would have thought, how would people think? How did you get there? How did you get these, illustrations? I mean, but they. It seemed to be
with a
through
housewife,
the telescope.
With a housewife washing the pots with a little bubble helmet on.
Yeah. But even with telescopes, now you can't see, properly on the surface of the moon unless you've got...
Mrs.
You know,
Robinson
morning.
Here is enjoying all the mod cons of a normal household, but on the moon.
Oh, yes.
You too
come
could be frolicking on the moon.
Come and join us, only for 99 cents.
Postage and packaging.
Included.
Rocket included. Well, the moon's origins are undoubtedly continue to unfold, inviting further speculation. To wonder what the answers are, we will always continue to wonder, I think.
Hopefully over the time we will get the answers.
We will try and get the answers, I think, once we get up there. But that's it, guys. I think if you've got any questions, comments or suggestions about tonight's topic, give us a shout.
Yeah.
Drop us a message. Or just ask us in the live. You know, we're always in the lives now.
Yeah.
So ask us there. We've got the news coming up. That's coming up very shortly. There. Well, it's actually around about now, the news. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. It's the news. Oh, yes. Been an interesting week.
It has.
And we found the best news. Not the best news. Some of it's quite tragic.
Yes, that's true.
But
that's
no, not true. All of it. But yeah, we've tried to find some of the best news around from the World Wide Web and bring it straight to your ear holes.
Oh, yes.
You won't be disappointed.
No, can't be.
First story I found.
Yeah.
Man suffers mysterious fatal electrocution after jumping into a lake.
What the?
I know, yeah. Oh. Electric eels, perhaps. Oh. I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Oh. Mysterious indeed. A 24-year-old man mysteriously died after jumping into a Georges Lake liner on Thursday. Authorities said the man just basically was having a normal day out swimming and stuff, jumped off the dock and was shocked by electricity in the water.
So how's that electricity got in?
I have no idea. So a family friend then unsuccessfully attempted to get him out using a ladder. According to the sheriff's office, a neighbouring boat came over and helped him. But no one knows what it was. A person swam ashore. There was apparently a power box. Yeah, and they was able. So I'm assuming that there was a faulty lead or something, and this kid dived in the water. He was transported to the hospital where he later died. But I mean, obviously, the sources of the electricity is still unclear, and an investigation of to the incident is ongoing. That is really weird, isn't it? Though, like the fact that he's just jumped into the lake, something that we all do on a hot summer's day and stuff, and never expect that.
Now, depending if he's got marks on him, then I would say electric eel.
or
well, that's what I was thinking, electric eels. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I mean, did they charge? Have they got that much voltage capacitor to be able to, you know,
stop the heart?
Well,
yeah.
not just stop your heart, but I mean, like charge up the water that much that you're going to have a fatal electric shock. I think if there is a power box nearby, there could be some sort of, you know what? A lot of the time, there's like underground, underwater cables get laid and stuff like that. Could it perhaps be like a damaged
cable line
or something like that? I think, like, obviously an investigation's going to happen and they'll find out what it is. But, I mean, that, I just was shocked when I read that. Like, someone's just, you know, cannonball. Yeah, and then obviously next minute, that's it.
So easy. It could
I mean,
been.
We wouldn't expect that from just jumping in a lake. So anyway, like, I just thought that was quite thingy, especially with, like, a lot of people doing it over the summer.
True.
You know, just be careful.
Yeah.
Just poke a stick in it first. Like, maybe...
Yeah, mate,
mate your brother getting in first. Yeah, that's it, innit? He's like, I'm going in first.
Yeah, yeah, no.
It's always
and
the thing,
someone
isn't it?
Gets pushed. That's
that's
it,
always
right?
the one, isn't it? He's like, I ain't going in first.
Yeah,
you go first, I'm going first.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought me down here, though. Yeah, but I still don't want to go.
Mate,
go
just read, I've just been told about this story about this guy doing a cannonball. And yeah. You do that.
No,
anyway,
that.
AI, big problem or big thing, a big great thing. Everyone's like rather on board with AI or going, it took our jobs. AI took our jobs.
Yeah, AI could go.
AI, I mean, it's I don't mind. It's got its uses.
It's got its uses, but we, as we always do, we abuse what we've got and we...
It's not abusing. It's using to your advantage, I think you'll find. Yeah, right.
It's sometimes it's to our advantage, but then again,
well,
sometimes it's not.
People are coming up with some ingenious ways of using AI, I think. And, you know, whether you like it or not, it's here, I think. This story, it's about people who were paid to train AI. You're paying to train AI.
Can you teach it?
Yeah, you're teaching the AI how to love, how to be, like, you know, compassionate. I don't know. What are you trying to teach it?
Love robots.
What is it you're teaching AI? Yeah. What is it you're training them?
How to respond.
Literature and all the rest of it. Yeah. Like, you
grammar.
Know, I would have just assumed it was all algorithms. But anyway,
well, that would be added to it, wouldn't it?
People who are being paid to train AI are now outsourcing their work to AI.
That's bonkers.
I know, isn't it? And getting paid for it.
Exactly.
That makes no sense. It could be probably the best work ever. Do you know what I mean?
Or the worst. Or it could actually lead to our doom.
Well, no, it could introduce further errors into an already error-prone, you know, system.
Society.
So obviously, AI as a thing is error full of errors.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah. If there's not human interaction to kind of, like, you know, go, you've got that little bit wrong,
and train it
and say, no, in this instance, in human language, we would, you know, because it's variations, isn't it? And that's it.
That's true.
AI can't fully comprehend it all yet.
No.
And that's why it needs people to train it. So if you're getting paid to train AI and then you're getting AI to do it for you.
Yeah, lazy.
It's not picking up on those errors, is it?
Yeah, exactly. What they're probably doing is giving it an AI to do and then proofreading it. Then going, right, yeah, that could go. But even then, the person who's doing it doesn't know everything, so they might still get it wrong as it's going through the system.
Yeah, maybe. I think, like, having something that's got a user base, like TikTok's got this kind of AI thing where you can make AI pictures and stuff like that. But that's training it in itself because you've got a user base, so everyone's on it playing with it.
Yeah.
So which trains it. I think it gets a better understanding of, like, how language operates and stuff. But obviously, it kind of means that there's people using it every day, but if you're basically outsourcing that training to AI, then it makes it a bit kind of lacking, I think.
Yeah, it makes it nothing. It makes it.
It'll just keep going round and round, thinking it knows everything, and it doesn't really.
It just knows what it knows,
and it teaches itself what it already knows.
And not only that, sometimes it takes a long time, and then when they do it. And then they get to the end, the people who were actually looking at it to actually, obviously, sell and find all the errors, they've just wasted, like, millions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Millions of pounds over something that you could have done with a pen and paper, possibly.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? It's crackers sometimes.
What do you reckon, AI future or hindrance? I don't know. I mean, but there's a lot of people got a big opinion about it. We'd love to hear yours.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything in the media this week, Mr. Taylor, that you thought, hang on?
I have.
That's a bit good. That's a bit sus. That's a bit scary.
I saw a little funny one today, actually.
Go on.
About in Lincolnshire, a neighbour asked the family next door if they could take the bins out.
Oh, we've all been there.
Like,
come on. Yeah, look, your bins are smelling. Can you get them out? Yeah. I mean, you keep forgetting, so they're piling up a bit now.
Yeah, and possibly they went on holiday, so it was like, right, could you do that while I'm on holiday?
Nice, like that.
So,
being a good neighbour.
Yeah, that's it.
Because that's when good neighbours become good friends, I understand.
That's true, neighbours.
Come on, crack on, son.
So, instead of actually taking it down the drive and leaving it out for the bin man, they actually did what they said, literally. They took it out for the day and took loads of photos.
Comedy, yeah. You funny man.
Give it some hair, took it to the hairdressers, went shopping.
But was it available for the binman when he arrived?
No, I think he was out there.
He was out?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So, like, did he get emptied is my problem, is the thing there.
It's not their problem, is it? Because, like, you know, I took them out.
That's just being facetious, basically. They've just gone, they've took them to the literal word and said, if you you want us to take your bin out, all right, we'll take it at Alton Towers for the day.
They put it as a dad's joke.
It is a dad joke.
A little wrong.
They've taken it a little bit too far there, I think.
Yeah.
It's funny. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's like, well, I'd still be bothered that my bin wasn't collected on time.
I'd be putting it back in there.
I'd be as well. I'd be like, your bin. Your bin's empty, is it? All right, okay.
Changing the number.
See if we're swapping bins.
Exactly.
Thanks.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, you've had your fun.
Yeah.
No, it's all so fun and games, and now I'm having your bin.
Yeah.
Anyway, help me, Jesus.
Why?
A snake falls out of the sky and lands on a woman.
Snake in a plane.
There was no. You were motherfucking snake on this motherfucking woman. there was a snake. She screamed.
It fell on a woman.
Yeah, she screamed, "Help me, Jesus!" as a snake fell out of the sky, landed on a woman. Then they were both attacked by a hawk.
What the?
Yeah, you can't write it, can you?
Oh, right.
Yeah, you can see what happened now, can't you? Yeah. So, Peggy Jones.
Yeah.
Didn't know what the fuck was what was happening. When at first she was attacked by a skybound snake or a skyward snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, snake coming out of
the... go around the neck.
Out of the heavens, from out of nowhere. She's gone around. She's not too bad. She's injured her arm. But the bizarre incident didn't stop Peggy from then being attacked by a hawk. Yeah.
You got my meal there.
Yeah, of course. So the hawk's obviously dropped its snake, hasn't it?
And thought,
whoa, Peggy, you aren't having it.
Yeah.
It's mine, this. Yeah. And then it's gone in for the retrieval. Yeah, it's like my snake taking
she's
that.
She's probably put her arm
in
the way or something.
Yeah, and then it's probably broke her arm, hasn't it? Like, woman attacked by snake and hawk.
you wouldn't think it, would you?
It doesn't come up often, but it has today.
That's two stories you've brought up.
Oh, God, she was really, really sore. She got a really slashed up arm, actually.
Has she?
Yeah. She obviously reacted, so she tried to, she probably got lifted her arm up or something.
Yeah,
the snake wrapped around her, her arm, squeezing so hard that she was waving her arm about, and then the hawk just swooped down, clawing her arm over and over. Peggy explained she just didn't know what to do. All she could say was, "Help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus."
And he helped her.
I don't know. I don't think
she did turn up. Say,
no, well, she's... Oh, say, my days. Her arm is an absolute mess, mate.
Yo.
Her arm is an... Google it. Yeah, Peggy Jones attacked by snake and hawk. You'll see the pictures. It's actually really bad. Like, really bad. And I bet she had to have tetanus.
Yeah, probably.
Her husband took her to the emergency room where she was treated for cuts from the hawk and bruises from the snake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she managed to get away unscathed, but she said she feels like the luckiest person alive to survive that. I'm not even joking. Her injuries were pretty horrific, yeah. She looks like she's been had off by Freddy Krueger. Her arm does. Joan says people have told her she must be the unluckiest person alive to have a hawk and a snake attack at the same time.
Yeah.
But she says the opposite. She feels the luckiest person to be alive and have survived it. So well done, Peggy Jones, surviving a hawk slash snake attack.
Yeah. Yeah, that's two of them that you like come out of nowhere that you brought tonight.
I've got a couple.
Yeah, you've got a couple. All right.
Oh yeah.
Same for a surprise night. Oh, like loads. Just walking down the road and boom.
Suddenly, Gaz has got loads of really good stories tonight. Yeah. Yeah. So, have you got anything you've seen?
I seen a man from
Del Monte, uncle.
Yeah, that's a fella. Dutch man who
from Deutschland. From Holland.
Yeah, who has returned back home after 10 years of walking around the world, hitting every single country around the world before he got back without a flight. He used trains, buses, and his feet.
He didn't walk all that way.
Not all the way, yeah. But it took 10 years.
Well, there is actually one route on the planet that's never been walked. Yeah, and it's still never been walked. If you were interested in doing it, not you personally or me, but you out there, if you were a fitness guy and you were like, or woman, and you were like, do you know what, I'm looking for a challenge.
Yeah,
there is actually one route on the planet that's never been conquered, and it's a route that goes all the way through a load of different countries. Mm. You'd have to Google it because I couldn't give you the specifics of it, but like right off the top of my head, but. Mm-hmm. There is a route, I'm sure, that is still yet to be conquered. So maybe people should kind of think about that. Instead of doing it by train and get an actual achievement, no, I actually did walk it.
Well, I'd check which country they're going through first because of wars and stuff like that,
We were going to go on a road trip once and we basically had to abandon it because it ended up being going through about a number of really dodgy countries. Places, exactly. There you go. I found this story.
Yeah.
Florida cops.
Yeah,
Florida cops have basically said stop. Right. Narking. Yeah, on marine orgies.
Yes.
Yeah. Manatee orgies. Yeah.
Oh,
it's the season by all accounts, yeah. Manatees are out there having a bit of slap and tickle, enjoying life.
Humping your cat.
Loving life. Although Florida's beloved manatees are getting on, this time of year. Manatees herds are,
proper doing
juries it. Seen during the summer.
Yeah.
But people are phoning the police on them.
Well, yeah, you don't want an orgy outside your fucking front door, though, do you? You know what I mean? You're like, you're noisy.
Spoiling my beach property. Yeah, it's like, I'm trying to live here on the Florida Keys.
You don't want that, do you?
And then it's the summer. This is the time I want to use my beach house, and we've got all these manatees.
They're going to smell. Whopping
on the beach.
Well, yeah, you don't want that.
It's manatee mating season. Yeah, it's manatee mating season. Yeah. And the Florida police have put out an important reminder saying, do not call the police, in regard to manatee orgies. So on the 29th, alongside a video showing a group of about a dozen large sea cows, all having a nice little chill.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't having an orgy. They were just chilling by the shoreline, saying basically we'd appreciate it if, you just let nature happen, let them to it.
Yeah, exactly. We
get calls all the time from citizens when they see this behaviour. This manatee, it's in distress, some of them think. So obviously the sheriff's office wrote, we can assure you that they're more than fine.
Yeah, they are happy.
They are more than happy. So don't worry about it.
Also, getting a render away.
Maybe this is it. Maybe one of the reasons is like they think they're in distress, but also it's them like, I'm trying to enjoy the scenery.
Yeah. I'm eating a sandwich here and I'm hearing all that noise over there.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't need the salad cream.
Well, manatee, it's next. It's going to be on RedTube and all that soon.
Someone with a TikTok. Hey, mate.
No, that's not allowed on TikTok.
No, yeah, it shouldn't be.
Shouldn't, no, none of that.
One of the companies are doing
not allowed
that.
Anything like that on TikTok. That. Anyway, go on, fella. Have you got some more news for the people?
I have indeed.
Bringing the news to the people.
Every day.
Every week. Sometimes.
Well, ladies in Russia are kicking back at President Putin because he's announced to all his men in Russia to...
Got to stay out there a couple of extra weeks.
No, they have to get rid of their BMWs, Porsches, stuff like that in cars and start buying Russian cars. So right, the ladies have turned round and stated, hold on, you've got a Mercedes S450.
Right.
Well, that's not on. If we have to, if the, our men
yeah, what's good
have
for the
drive,
goose, what's good for the gander. Exactly. Yeah. I don't think Putin's in his right mind, is he? He's gone a bit Kim Jong-un.
I think he's trying to get money.
He'll be
coming
getting everybody.
Now.
Well, he's trying to, you know, obviously there's a load of companies that have pulled out of Russia.
Yeah.
So
and
like,
he's made
in,
his own,
and not in support of him. So if they're all driving Mercedes and German cars and fucking other countries' cars now, which they bought prior, then they're like, whoa, he's trying to get them, if they scrap all them cars, then they need to buy a new one, which spurs their economy on a little,
and not
you know
only
I mean?
That,
and they're buying their own products.
If you scrap them cars, well, can you use all that metal and all them plastics and all that stuff for more equipment for the war?
Probably, yeah, because they'll be selling them plastic-free printed cars.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's it. He wants to get all these, like, new e-cars. But so I can see drivers are going to be driving down the road with like getting fined or something like that. So the ladies
fined
have started driving.
Oh, for driving a foreign car.
So the ladies have started buying the old, you know, like the old Lada ones and stuff like that. They started buying the old cars, so they can't get away with the pollution kind of thing.
Okay, fair enough. I've got this story here. Yeah. Right, so do you know the FBI?
Yeah, know them well.
You know about the FBI, right? Yeah. So they do, like, secret ops and stuff like that, don't they?
FBI.
They do, yeah, sometimes. Well, they were ordered to find out which agency was disobeying the White House's commands and orders, on a secret deal.
So
FBI, the Bureau, was ordered to find out which government agency was broke White House policies. Mm. Yeah, and it turned out
CIA.
It turned out to be the FBI.
Oh wow!
So it's like, you know, there's been a bit of a backlash about it all because, you know, it was basically like about a spyware thing. So earlier this year, the New York Times reported on an unknown federal agency had breached official White House policies by using secretive methods to conduct a business deal with the NSO Group, a blacklisted spyware vendor who's basically been selling powerful surveillance tools. Yeah, the agency in question basically were the FBI. So they've been doing some backdoor deals to get this new, you know, all this spyware. Software that kind of gets them information and stuff, so they can use it in their spy shit. But then obviously the White House have gone, whoa, they're not allowed, they're blacklisted, we don't use them. Who's done it? Who's been breaking the rules? So they've gone, we'll get on it, boss, we'll find them for you. If our name's not the FBI.
Because I believe Biden's come out and said over the millions of Americans who aren't supposed to be spied upon are being spied upon without any warrants.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So after the time the story was actually published, the FBI was ordered by Biden's administration to investigate it.
Yeah.
Now, several months later, the Bureau's investigation is complete, and it turns out that the agency were... none other than the FBI. So they basically deployed the White House disobeyed the White House and purchased a creepy NSO tool for the FBI. Yeah. So
you know, the one thing that surprised me the most on that is that it actually come out.
Yeah, true, actually, yeah, because it's probably come out through, like...
Some reporter or something like that, or some bit of paper that's come out, and it's like, whoa, what's going on here? And they can't deny it.
Yeah, that well, there's another one about another agency that's had to kind of, like, who were going to get a bit of a reprimanding, if not, like, more, I think. Obviously, the FBI's there was, like, kind of interesting, but... This is the Toronto Police Service.
All right.
Yeah, the TPS.
Yeah.
Shutting down their licensed bar inside their downtown headquarters.
Right.
It served senior officers for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, there'd probably been some you know, crazy nights in there.
Yeah, I bet.
This is after superintendent's drink driving crash.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So there was a memo went out to all civilians and uniformed senior officers recently saying that the bar was going to be closing down because of it. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I don't think they should have, like, I mean, an officers club. I understand why they'd feel the need for one, because obviously they go to proper normal bars. And,
yeah, and they want to get together after work instead of going to a bar that, you know.
I can see why they but have a pub, you know, like a local policeman's pub or something. But then again, it's like drink driving anyway, you know. I mean,
they should know better.
Exactly. I mean, it's not a case of that.
They should have been put in a bowl before they even walked into that.
So I feel like it is a good decision. They had this bar for 30 years, like I say, so
and
it's not exactly like a new thing. And obviously, like I say, they probably had many nights in there where they've had a good time, but the license was used infrequently anyway, so like they're largely a formal function room sort of thing, so it probably was used a lot more back in the day, but not so much now anyway.
Better
so
some still no big pissed loss. Off officers up.
Maybe you'd like a bit of a whiskey after
what I mean,
when you crack
a
case
before I get on
to
see the missus.
Cracked a case, I'm gonna go for a whiskey.
Yeah, that's it. I'm down the club with the lads.
I think they should close down the one in, Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, I totally agree that,
100%.
Fucking 50p.
Anything else you've seen in the news?
Yes, I have. A man has come forward who's found a 67-year-old photo.
go on.
And it looks like, possibly, Tom Hanks... is a time traveller.
No, I've seen so many of these, though.
Yeah.
I've seen, what was he called now? Nicolas Cage, I've seen.
Oh, yes.
Fucking,
pretty good one, that one, though.
What was it, Jack from, what's he called now? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Seen Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
I mean, genetically, you do get doppelgangers.
Yeah,
right.
It could
I do
be
believe that you will, you know.
Line.
We may be, but I mean, like, I do believe that, you know, there's only so many variations of a face. Yeah.
True.
So somewhere out in the world could be somebody who looks remarkably like you. And that's not out of the realms of possibility. It's been known that you can bump into your doppelganger or your twin from another mother. And people have met him. There's a thing about meeting your non-biological twin. So the idea that somebody in the past had the photo taken and they happen to resemble Tom Hanks is not a big out of the realms of possibility for me. But
there is a but.
Go on, what's your but?
Could it be true?
It could. It be true?
I'm only saying could it be. I'm not saying it is going to be, but if time travel can...
Well, maybe. Tom Hanks probably... Would you reckon they'd give that sort of technology to Tom Hanks? He was like, look, right, we've got our top men on it. We're looking for a volunteer. Well, we've got a man, sir. He was in Apollo 11, the movie.
Or it could be...
Apollo 13, the movie. He's the other one from Toy Story who didn't go to Infinity and Beyond, but he's willing.
But have you ever thought as well, reincarnation, but that... in certain nights that we could come
it's
back
funny
as
actually
because
Tom Hanks actually appears in a film called what is it called now, where it's basically that there's loads of different incarnations of like each character. I forget what the film's called. It'll come to me in a minute anyway. But
that is another theory.
Again,
that
it's
possibly
like, it's like that film that's just come out now. Everything All at Once. Do you know, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've got parallel realities.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like.
Is it any good? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's good.
Yeah, do check
it out.
I will do one time.
Yeah, it is good. Cloud Atlas is the film that I was thinking about with Tom Hanks. Where there's loads of different variations of Tom Hanks throughout the film from different realities, but also a lot of different stars in it. It's a good film actually, but it's one of those where it takes a few hours to watch. Anyway, moving on. Well, whether you believe that was Tom Hanks as a time traveling actor.
Yeah,
I am an actor.
Hey, he was good, didn't he?
3,000.
Saving Pirate Ryan, wasn't he?
He was good. He was good in Castaway as well, and Big.
Yeah, he's been in, he's been good in a load of things. Right, well, he's won a
let's stop, like, you know,
macking
on Tom Hanks. I found this story about, before we get into the NASA news, China Zoo, the Chinese Zoo even, have been getting a lot of backlash about its sun bear exhibit, recently.
Okay.
The people are saying it's a human dressed in a costume and not really a bear after all.
Is it? Cheeky.
After videos of the bear waving, standing upright, and basically just doing, like, being, like, pretty entertaining in the exhibit.
Yeah, but that's what they do.
That's
anyway.
What they do,
yeah. That's why they get caged up and all
that. Well, they, that, well they
countries.
Do, don't they, some of them, well, this zoo in eastern China has denied suggestions that some of the bears could be actual humans dressed in costumes after a video of one standing on its hind legs circulated online. The statement published on Sunday from the, what's this, Malaysian news, said the sun bear and the zookeepers at the zoo are all in cahoots. They say that there's a man in a costume, and that, it's not a real... when I did look at the video, though, I've got to admit, it does look a bit man in a costume-y, but then it kind of sits back down on its ass and it just looks like a normal bear again. So is it just because it's got saggy skin? Do you know, when it stands up, they're not used to standing up on the hind legs.
But there is good actors out there. Who are doing gorilla suits.
My portrayal
like
of
that.
A bear at the Chinese Zoo was especially a highlight of my career.
Yeah, so, you know, it could be a fake.
Maybe.
Is it actually going to get
investigated? Well, no, because London Zoo have actually posted their sun bear.
And they're doing the same.
And they're doing the same, so, like, we haven't got a man in a costume either. Some bears do this.
Or have they all?
Maybe.
Or some bears.
It's a conspiracy.
Humans.
They don't exist. Maybe they've gone extinct and they're trying to keep it on the hush.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, they'll be doing white rhinos next. Like, they'll be dressing up like white rhinos. There's one, look.
Well, yeah, there's not
and
a lot
Bigfoot.
Of them left. I think there's
and Bigfoot.
Like,
well, they already do Bigfoot, don't we? I see people dressing up like Bigfoot all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Definitely. Now, there you go.
Don't have a shave for a
while. The elusive sun bear, whether it is a man or in a costume or not.
Yeah,
I don't believe it. I think it's a real animal.
I do as well.
Get over
I've
it.
Seen them do it before in, you know...
In Russia.
Stuff, yeah. In them shitty cages.
Dance, and bird, dance. Yeah, it's not nice, though, is it?
You know what I mean?
Well... Getting into, have you got any more news before UFO news and NASA
no,
news?
Let's
no,
let's go next.
The truth is out there, guys. Well, nice. UFO news. UFO whistleblower claims he's under threat.
Oh, yeah.
For revealing top secret operations. They're coming for me, man. They're coming for me. Yeah. They're outside my house. Yeah. I think if you were a whistleblower and you came out and went and made a bold statement, you would start getting a bit paranoid. You would be twitching at the window, wouldn't you? Like, trying to see if anyone was watching your house or anything like that. Well, this is a former intelligence officer. He knows the signs as well. It's like, listen, I've been watching people my entire life. I know when I'm being watched.
Yep.
Well, the former intelligence officer turned whistleblower told Congress on Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Top government officers have been hiding a top secret program to find alien UFOs.
Yep.
Now he's saying that he fears for his life for choosing to speak out. He's basically he's getting a bit paranoid, I think.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I'd say that, like,
this is David Grieche, by the way.
Yeah,
we've done an episode on David Grieche. He has obviously said a lot more since we did that episode.
Yeah, there's information like other people who have been in that place where they all of a sudden died over something, or
found in a zipped up suitcase behind a locked door with no key, with the key in his pocket.
You know the you know that Congress where they all sat. Do you know originally if they didn't find it, didn't gone in the day earlier, that was all going to happen in a small room. It wasn't actually going to be in the main room, which means it wouldn't have been recorded and a lot of the information would have been hidden.
Oh, well, there you go. So the fact that they moved up to a bigger
venue.
Yeah,
so the senators actually found out just beforehand and went, oi, what's going on here? No, we requested this place, we're getting it. And they had a load of problems with it. So even before people were speaking, they was having problems getting into the main venue area, you know what I mean? So it's like, it was, you could tell on that alone that the certain part of Congress that still don't want it to come out, but it's these congressmen and women who are asking the questions and bringing these committees together to find out actually what's going on, because they can't even get an interview.
Well, this is
with
it.
Greece privately.
Well, at the moment, I mean, the congressional hearing, you know, on the alleged government encounters with UFOs has led to Democrats and Republicans being called out for more transparency on the phenomenon.
And there's more to come as well.
David Grish testified to members of the House. He basically had a lot of bold claims. There was a couple of really funny ones. Did you see the guy who kind of came up to the mic and he was like, "Hey guys, we should all just just get a smoke on and like enjoy the aliens and let the aliens come down." Oh, he was proper hilarious.
Oh, I didn't see him, no.
But then, Grish though. Some of the things that he's presented as evidence, like we said this last week, I feel they're a bit kind of like, no, I'm not sure that's good, the best evidence that you've even got.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I've seen stuff that you've seen stuff that's kind of way better evidence.
Yeah, but
in my opinion,
he seems to have more stuff, and the information is not out to us yet.
Listen,
it's out to Congress.
If you've got the opportunity to sit in Congress and challenge these people, you take all the best evidence. You take the fucking the jaw dropping stuff that's going to go, oh wait, shit, we're not prepared for this.
Yeah, but that's why he asked for a skip.
The evidence that they took was like, oh, we've got this video of an alien being interrogated, and we've got a load of really grainy RAF footage or whatever, or Air Force footage, and it's like it's all the same stuff that we kind of keep getting shown, but it's like, is this all they've got? Because honestly, there seems to be a lot more that they're not even skirting upon.
A lot of it we can't see,
like,
it's
just
still
kind of go into
security.
Individual incidents at first and say, well, what happened on this night and what did you find, and then go through the main incidents one by one, and then go.
Yeah.
Then you start putting a picture together. It just seems very kind of like haphazard at the minute. And until like there is a bit more transparency, it's going to remain that way.
Well, he's already represented all the evidence that like we can't see. It comes under national security. He's sent that. They've already had a look at that. Right at the top, but the senators and Senate women that were actually at that meeting, they want a skiff, which is where it's him and them, no cameras, anything like that, so they can actually get all the evidence in front. But they are having issues on trying to get a skiff with him. So if he dies before they actually get a skiff, you know, whatever was sent at the top may not come down, and it may still be hidden.
Right, okay, yeah,
you know,
I see where you're coming from.
So it's only a certain amount of senators and that who are pushing for this now. There's been a big push, but there are still other ones who don't want it out because they get represented, won't they?
Fair dues. So basically, it's interesting. We'll see where it goes in the future. I feel like there is definitely more to kind of put to the table.
Yeah.
But you never
some
know, because this is it. We do need people like that. I mean,
Fair
enough, mate. Whatever happens, he's going to be known forever as the guy who kind of challenged him. So let's see.
It could be the next Bob Lazar. You know what I mean? That's where I think it could be.
Next Bob Lazar.
Like I said at the beginning of when I first seen him, it was like, nah.
Okay, fair enough. But have you got any other NASA news? Anything happening in space or beyond?
NASA has finally got in control now and in contact with Voyager 2, which we haven't had contact with it for a while. So, because they're slightly dying now, Voyager 1 and 2, and I believe Voyager 1, we can't contact that no more. Voyager 2 was the second one to leave, and we thought we could get communication, but our communication broke down, but now we've got full control of it again now.
Okay, cool.
And also, Elon Musk, maybe a naughty boy, might be doing damage to the ozone. by the looks of things.
What? By putting up his satellites?
By sending up rockets, yes. I believe it was Africa South Africa. They did some rockets.
I did read something about this because, like, they say, like, there's a few things that do this. They poke holes in the ozone.
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, they always say this, but they say stuff like, "Oh, well, it's not as bad as all that. Don't worry about it. It heals itself up after a couple of days."
Yeah. The greenhouse one sealed itself, but it's opening up again now.
I know. Yeah, but like that's what I'm saying. It's like. In fact, some of these solar flares that we get from close to the sun, they poke holes in the ozone as well. But it's so much that it's a couple of days and it kind of heals itself back up. But it's not the point, is it? Because, no. I mean, like, we're trying to reduce that.
Yeah.
You know.
Because the longer it's open, then the more the...
The longer the portal is open, the more fucking crazy shit can come in.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop opening the portal, Elon.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it.
And over an area, if you think about it, if it goes over 24 hours, that's a little bit of the Earth all the way around.
Yes, well, here we go. The UK government...
Oh, yes.
...are now looking to spend no money...
What?
...on UFO or research and development.
Right, so they are doing them.
No, yeah, basically. Yeah. After the Congress hearing, the questions have been asked, haven't they?
They knew it was coming.
They were like, are you prepared to, do you know, like, look into UFOs and this, that, and the other?
Yeah,
no, not a chance. We're prepared to spend absolutely £0 on UFO and R&D in that area.
But it's funny, the guy who runs the X-Files there now is actually an American general. American general.
Also, this is a new one coming. There's whales again.
Oh, right.
This is 19 hours ago. So, like, this 19 hours from now.
Oh, right.
Donut-shaped UFO. Or among many recent sightings recorded over Wales.
Okay.
At the moment, North Wales is being a bit of a hotbed of UFO activity at the minute. But donut-shaped UFOs are a new one on me.
Oh no, I've heard of donut ones before. Yeah,
donuts.
But not in the last like 5-10 years.
Well, they're back, baby.
Yeah.
Donut punching UFOs.
Yeah.
Simpsons. Also, I think you get me Simpsons.
Over.
Last NASA story.
Yeah.
UFO hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Has discovered a secret underwater base.
Where?
Off the coast of Yorkshire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently, yeah. So Russell Kellett says he's made a discovery after spending 20 years investigating a site reported to be an alien abduction area. The most plausible in British history.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he basically says he's a prophetic UFO hunter. He reckons he's discovered the secret underwater alien base just off the coast of Yorkshire. He says that he's made the discovery after spending 20 years investigating the site, and he thinks it's an alien base. It's a hotbed for alien abductions in the area.
Right.
The RAF pilot, he's an ex-RAF pilot as well.
Oh, right.
Crashed his... Oh, wait, hang on. William Shanthner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crashed his plane there near Scarborough in West Yorkshire.
Right.
And they claims to have crashed a UFO before crashing.
Oh, right. So he's stating that
he hit a UFO, crashed it, and then he crashed himself. Yeah, but the bodies were never found. Right,
that doesn't mean there's a base there.
It
could be a UFO there.
It might be a UFO there. But it depends how big the UFO
that's
is, really.
Could
but
be
a BBC investigation later decided the incident was the most plausible alien abduction story in history.
What the fuck does
I know,
BBC
yeah, and we'll have
not?
To have a look into yeah. this. The base is reportedly off the coast of Filey Beach.
I don't think that's far from me, to be honest.
Filey?
We might have to...
Filey's Scarborough, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Scarborough's west... Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Yorkshire coast. Yeah. So, the 60-year-old has said that he's been visiting the site for almost 20 years. He's captured footage of things coming out of the water. The footage shows two crafts in the sea by the side, and they're flying in triangular formation close to the road, and you can see it in the start of the video.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, he sounds interesting. He I'd love to get him on the show if we could. Yeah, that's, that sounds really cool. I think an alien base, though, maybe. We don't know. Well, but, like, what the BBC... Maybe we should have a look more into this and maybe do it as an episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. That might be coming up in... Yeah. Oh,
we'll have a little investigation into this and see where we can go with it. If there's something there, substance, we'll bring it to you.
Oh, if there's substance,
there's probably substance there.
Well, that's it. I think that's the end of the topic. End of the news.
I believe so.
End of the show.
Yes.
We'll be back next week.
We will, indeed.
For another thrilling episode.
Oh.
Thank you so much. In fact, I've got a load of shout-outs.
You have?
I do apologise, I didn't do them earlier on.
No, well, you're
but we do have
now.
Subscriber shout outs. So thank you to everybody who supports the show and subscribes. Yeah. You more than you know what, you're just fucking wonderful people. Fantastic. Really appreciate the love. So big shout outs to our subscribers, Holly,
Josh, yeah.
Cat,
Jess,
Oliver,
Jag,
Elvis. What?
Elvis Presley.
Yeah, Elvis
Presley. Back.
He's back.
Back in
and
the room.
He's back and winning life. Joe King.
Oh,
he's only
I like Joe
King.
King. I like that.
Other Joe. Joe's
so
lovely.
Joe and Joe King.
We've got Joe King or John. He's called John.
Oh, right.
He calls himself Joe King.
Right.
All right, we'll go John and Joe.
Yeah,
because
right.
that makes
yeah,
it
that
more
makes
easier.
Better, yeah.
Big shout out to both of those, John yes. and Joe. Ryan, or Scally up,
Scally was that
Scally boy, yeah, Scally up a tree.
All right, okay,
Scally G up a tree, and then a big shout out to Ben and
yes, Ben.
Ben Robinson, I think it is, and Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Thank you so much, everybody,
thank
for
you,
your support. Really means a lot.
It does.
Thank you so much. If you're interested in subscribing to the podcast, you can go to Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast. We're available on Alexa, I believe.
Yeah.
So just say, hey, Alexa, can I listen to the Never a Straight Answer podcast? And it'll do it.
Give them the latest episode.
Also, all the other podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, CastBox, wherever you get your
everywhere.
Show. Check out the website at neverastraightanswer.co.uk where you can find downloadable content, loads of news and blogs. There's also a support page and a contact page where you can drop us an email if you so wish.
If you can.
We're also available on all the social media platforms from Facebook, MySpace.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Radio. We're everywhere.
Short,
that's the thing.
Just short. We're everywhere. Yeah. If you Google Never a Straight Answer podcast, you'll find us. I was just taking a mic. We're available on all the social media platforms like fucking Instagram.
Yeah, Twitter.
Sorry, I do swear.
Or is it X now?
X. It doesn't ring right, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah, but it's only for a short time, isn't it?
Oh, well. Right, well, we'll be back next week for another thrilling episode regardless.
We will.
You're sick of listening to us ramble.
I'm sure you
so,
are.
So, we'll see you next time. I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
Peace.
Out.